You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. The Iran war is approaching its second month after U.S. and Israeli forces launched military strikes in late February. Since then, the conflict has spread across the Gulf, involving more than a dozen countries and killing thousands of people. A fragile ceasefire announced 2 weeks ago has been extended, but much uncertainty remains over peace talks between the U.S., Iran, and others. This conflict has ignited strong feelings across the diverse Iranian diaspora, many of whom may have family or connections back in Iran. And it's also raised concerns and questions, from the appropriateness of U.S. or foreign intervention to calls for regime change and the protection of protesters, dissidents, and minority groups within Iran. Dr. Hengame Ruhi is a local clinical psychologist. She was born in Iran and is a member of the Baha'i faith, a religious minority in the country. And she joins us now. Welcome to Insight.
Thanks for having me.
So I would love to learn a little bit more about yourself and how you came to the United States and California.
Of course. So I was born in an ancient beauty called Iran and born and raised in the Baha'i family and grew up there. And then I became a Baha'i myself. And because the Baha'i faith is a minority religion that in Iran after 1979 revolution, they don't have most of the citizen rights. So education is one of those that Baha'is in Iran up to this day over the past 47 years don't have education right beyond high school. So there's no college or university. So I left Iran to pursue the education when I was 21 years old. So pretty much I spent my childhood and until I was 21 years old when I came to America, pursued my education, became a clinical psychologist, and I've been working as a clinical psychologist in prison system and forensic setting and in my private practice.
I would imagine that experience throughout your youth and early adulthood shaped what you wanted to do professionally with your life and what you wanted to study.
Absolutely. I think it's the combination of, you know, psychology and social justice, my passion for social justice. I was born right at the time of 1979 revolution. And I give a little, you know, background about Baha'i faith, which is a global religion that emerged in the 19th century in Iran. So Iran is the birthplace of Baha'i faith. And the fundamental principle of Baha'i faith is the oneness of human race. And it envisions a future world order where all racial and religious prejudice are abolished and all nations can just join together in unity. So that concept of the unity and the future of the world order, that there is a social justice, is just very close to my heart. But just shortly after the 1979 revolution, it was an official order that Baha'i to revoke the citizen rights from Baha'is. And my very first actually experience of that is I was 4.5 years old in June of 1983. And that's the time that there was an order for execution of number of Baha'is in my hometown, across Iran. And imagine at that age, you know, my mom is trying to explain to me that what it means for, you know, a group of Baha'is for their belief system to be executed. And of course, that led to, you know, so many other events that continued and to my choice, you know, for psychology and also be in this field.
Yeah, I mean, did that persecution continue for decades past the revolution in 1979 to today?
Right. Of course, that, you know, the persecution is not just now for Baha'is, but it started with Baha'i faith. It started with that minority group, and it still continues. It was like a official order that they had to do. From economic strangulation, like all the government job, they were fired from all government job. It was educational denial. If they had their own business, with confiscation of their property, tortured, forced confession, execution, imprisonment. And the thing is that Baha'i Faith, they completely stay nonpartisan and stay out of all the violence, political, you know, perspective that has violence and war, fundamentally is against war and violence. And the approach is that the way of worshiping God is to be at the service of humanity. So community building, all the service, anything that Baha'is do in Iran, it's been banned and stopped. And the consequence of that is imprisonment. And it continues. And to this day, you know, we still see persecution, imprisonment of Baha'is. But, you know, the thing is that it starts with the small minority, it starts with one minority group. But when violation of human rights is not held accountable in a right way, it just doesn't, you know, stay in one place. It doesn't contain, it expands. So it continued to different groups, to now it's journalists and students or whoever who doesn't really align with the dominant ideology. And that has been and continues and still like one of the most areas that is very sensitive for me and is close to my heart is the rights for education, that Baha'is don't have rights for education.
How has the past almost 2 months now been since the start of the war?
Well, you know, it's from psychology perspective, I would say that in order to really manage this level of contention and this level of anxiety is to be able to actually hold the complexity that two reality can exist at the same time. And for me, it's been like the sadness and the sorrow of watching, you know, my beloved country going through this invasion. At the same time, hoping that there will be a place that human rights are valuable. I'm not saying anything, you know, that the war is good or war is not good or let's take a side from where we are. It's just the reality of the violation of human rights, that it's happening and we're seeing it and it just continues. So I'm trying to hold the tension between hope and sorrow.
Do you think that conversation and that awareness of human rights within the coverage of this war, that there's a focus on human rights?
I'm so glad that you mentioned that, because this isn't new. This isn't just about the past 2 months. Violation of human rights, it's been going on over the past 47 years. And the news or, you know, even people, when we talk about it, it just, you know, it's just mentioned in a very light way. And the focus is a lot on who are we hating, who we don't like, which party is right, which party is not right. And if we really drop all this and connect with the universal truth, which is the human dimension aspect, everything else just, you know, falls away and it just makes sense. So I don't think that the emphasis is on the violation of human rights. We hear so much about the Strait of Hormuz and the nuclear bomb and, you know, Democrats or Republican or Iran is doing that, but let's just get rid of all that and ask the question of what is really happening on the ground with Iranian people. You know, over the past 2 months, you know, we had it like in January, like nurses were getting raped at the hospital that they were treating wounded protesters. There was a mass, you know, execution still going on. And so those topics are not coming up in media, and that has been, you know, it's a part that I'm actually very sensitive, and a lot of Iranians are talking about it, that doesn't matter. Any of these political conversations, any of this matter, let's just all of us unite and think about this human aspect of that it's real. That's what it's happening. It's the reality of it.
Do you have a Baha'i community here or just an Iranian community here that you can lean on and during this time when having all of these very understandable, like strong, deep conflicting feelings.
Right. We have a beautiful Baha'i community here in Sacramento. Baha'i community, you know, it's large in America, in California. It's across the world. We have Baha'is. So I do have amazing, wonderful Iranian Baha'i friends, non-Iranian friends that they have been support. But I often have this conversation, especially among my non-Iranian friends who you know, they're a lot concerned about the war and everything. And I try to just bring their attention, everyone's attention, even my Iranian Baha'i friends who were born and raised here and they don't really have the experience of what it means to live in Iran under those situations, that let's just stay with this important part of it. And that would be the silver lining for everyone, to let's just think about the violation of human rights. So yes, I am blessed and lucky to have beautiful friends and community here, and it's been nice, and I just stay hopeful.
Mm. What gives you the most hope?
What gives me the most hope is that, you know, I'm fundamentally against war. I mean, everybody is. I think, you know, nobody wants to see the invasion of their country. But knowing that there is some intervention, some action is taken. You know, if you go back to 2022, when there was during Woman Life Freedom, which could have been a first woman-led revolution if there was getting any attention of the foreign policies. And again, not for the revolution aspect of it, which is the political aspect, and I definitely do not want to even go on that side, but from the aspect of this woman empowerment and the movement and how big it was. And unfortunately, there was no intervention. It was just, you know, mainly Iranians just screaming, asking for help. It was, of course, brought up to the United Nations, but there was no intervention. It hasn't been any real intervention. So it seems, as painful as it is to watch what's going on right now in the war, but there is some sense of hope that maybe there might be good intervention here.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're speaking with Dr. Hengameh Ruhi, an Iranian-born clinical psychologist who is also a member of the Baha'i Religious Minority Group. You mentioned, and I just said right now, you're a clinical psychologist. Has your work, your professional experience, have you been putting this into practice during this time?
As a professional psychologist, you know, I try to really, and again, as I said before, I try to really use this, you know, silver lining that let's just be able to put the hate and contention and disagreement aside and be able to tolerate the complexity to hold multiple realities at once, without immediately needing to kind of reduce the anxiety that we have into a simple category of what's right and what's wrong. So for me, that also connects with a broader perspective that emphasizes unity and nonpartisanship, not in the sense of disengaging, but in the sense of staying anchored in human dignity rather than taking a side. And that's the meaning for meaning. And psychologically speaking, I always say, you know, as Dr. Viktor Frankl said, you know, respond to the meaning of life, what life is asking you to do at every given moment. There is a Baha'i quotation: be anxiously concerned about the needs of the age you live in. And that's a very much of a psychological perspective, that I'm responding to the meaning of life that is presented, to focus on violation of human rights, and then everything else makes sense to me. Everything else is just, that's where my heart will find solace.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people can take that advice to many different parts of their life, not just this conversation. Right. But finally, if people want to learn more, they want to have deeper conversations, they want to put this into practice, you know, in kind of follow up on the developments of this war with those deeper conversations in mind. How do you suggest they get engaged in these deeper conversations?
Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's really important because this is the need of time, and it's just so important. We're so interconnected. I highly recommend, because there is so much contention, there is so much anxiety and argument and disagreement. And especially speaking, you know, from a Baha'i perspective and from, you know, just the humanistic perspective, let's put aside all that. And if we really focus on that universal truth, which is the human dimension, then we bring that to our awareness. And whatever we put our attention to, it shapes the way we think, the shapes the way we feel, and the shapes the way we respond. So if we put the attention to the violation of human rights and that dimension, then we know how to have the conversation with so many different perspectives.
Dr. Ruhi, thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you so much.
Dr. Hengameh Ruhi is a local Iranian-born clinical psychologist and a member of the Baha'i Faith, a religious minority group. We have been talking about the Iran war as it approaches the two-month mark. Still ahead, a regional conference for the National Association of Black Journalists kicks off this weekend in Sacramento. We'll learn more about their efforts to strengthen Black media in Northern California. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.